A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're all about community, growing community through commerce, making our world a better place through the connections that we all forge each and every day. Building community, it's really what all businesses want, right? And truly is about creating that path to success. When you speak about success, got to remind you that we are proudly presented by the good community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Today, it is commerce and community through our zoo. There's a new strategic plan at the Milwaukee County Zoo called Our Zoo, Our Future. It's been a long time in development, and it serves as a roadmap for the next 5 to 10 years of what the zoo's efforts will look like to inspire not only what the grounds look like, but more importantly, what the mission of the zoo is all about, conserving wildlife, conserving wild places. We're going to get into what the plan will deliver in terms of new exhibits and how it will anchor to its new mission. The director of the zoo, Amos Morris, will join us, and the president and CEO of the Zoological Society of Milwaukee, Jody Gibson, will be in studio as well. Commerce at Kohl's. What is up with our Wisconsin-based retailer, and what does their roadmap to the future look like? Local public relations professional Michael Grimm is going to join us in studio to discuss the recent firing of CEO at Kohl's and what's next and maybe what the retailer needs to do to turn around and reemerge in this ever-changing world of retail. Another big CEO change, of course, is Warren Buffett's retirement. We'll talk about that. And how in the world does the next CEO at Berkshire Hathaway follow in Warren Buffett's very big footsteps? We shall see. I know Michael has some specific advice for all CEOs moving forward. But first, as we do each and every beginning of every upswing, we're going to go to up.
Now it's time for the Two Up on the Upswing.
Two Up, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about right now. This first one is so fun and such an amazing collaboration between a trusted local company and a multinational company. Cheez-Its Frozen Pizza is totally that unexpected collaboration you weren't thinking about, but you are thinking right now, I need that in my life. Our kids love Cheez-Its. It's a staple on our grocery list. And I love Palermo's pizza, so this is heavenly. Palermo Villa is our homegrown, Milwaukee-based frozen pizza giant. Cheez-Its, it's that snack brand, right? Those little square, crispy, crunchy, ultra-thin, wafer-like crackers. Cheez-Its is owned by Kellanova. You're saying, who? Kellanova? Yes, Kellanova is formerly Kellogg's, right? Beanstalk is Kellanova's exclusive global beverage licensing agency. They facilitated a partnership with Palermo's to create a new Cheez-Its pizza. The retail price, $6.99 to $9.99, depending on where you're finding it. Available now in stores, Kroger, Winn-Dixie, Wegmans, Food City. A full rollout of this product is coming in August. You're going to find three flavors. You're going to get that Italian four cheese, cheddar jack supreme, and pepperoni. But the key here is that the crust is made from Cheez-Its. Nick Faluca, who is the chief innovation officer for Palermo's, said, yes, this starts with the crust, which is like a large Cheez-It flavored cracker, crispy, cheesy, square-shaped, and then it's topped with the customer favorite toppings that perfectly complement the crust. I look forward to this for sure, mainly because I love Palermo's, but I love Cheez-Its. And you know why you love Cheez-Its? It's because paprika. Paprika is that key ingredient in Cheez-Its that you're always like, what is that that's driving me to keep eating them?
Topeka.
Yes, keeps those Cheez-Its popping. Second up is an end of an era in the Dells. You may have heard this, but nothing is more strong than community in the Wisconsin Dells. So I had to reshare this news for you. The Tommy Bartlett Show site in the Wisconsin Dells area that we all love each and every summer. It's been sold to Ripley's, believe it or not. The sale includes 37 acres of land, including all the waterfront amphitheater land right there on Lake Delton that's used for the famous Tommy Bartlett skiers and stage acts that have performed in the Wisconsin Dells since 1952. The Tommy Bartlett Experience, it's been a showcase and just kind of that thing that you're like, wow, this is what Wisconsin's all about. I'm really heartened to know that not only the experience is going to remain, but the Bartlett family, when they sought a buyer, they said, we want our tours and legacy to remain in the state of Wisconsin, knowing that Ripley's, which already operates the Believe It or Not Museum, just a few miles up the road, had a bunch of legacy in the Dells too. So it's a perfect collaboration. It's a perfect partnership. The Tommy Bartlett Exploratory Interactive Science Center is going to remain open, and it will be all owned by Ripley's, Believe It or Not. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. The Milwaukee County Zoo and the Zoological Society of Milwaukee have unveiled a new strategic plan for the zoo. It's a new mission, a new vision, a new plan focused on improving the zoo, not only in how it takes care of the animals, but how it educates the entire community. And that's what we do on The Upswing. It's all about community. Nothing says more community than our zoo. It's conservation, saving wildlife, it's saving wild spaces in Wisconsin and around the world. And when you go to the zoo, you want to take away that educational component that you can go out and with whatever animal you love, you can kind of give a little bit more love back into the community. So Amos Morris is the executive director of the Milwaukee County Zoo. Been here 4 years, right?
Yeah, it'll be 4 years in August, actually.
Okay. You have a career at 7 zoos around the country, zookeeper, curator, director, and more. We'll go into your background in a little bit, Amos. Also joining us, Jody Gibson. Jody's the president and CEO of the Zoological Society of Milwaukee, the nonprofit organization that serves as an educational and fundraising partner for the zoo. So I wanted to talk first and foremost about the new strategic plan. And what was the inspiration around kind of this? It's a new shared mission and vision between the Zoological Society and the zoo as a whole. Right, Jody?
So, yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I want to commend Amos Morris as the head of the Milwaukee County Zoo for being so community-minded to invite people to be a part of creating the strategic plan. And under his leadership, we really created the Zoo Coalition and partnered our two organizations together along with community leaders. So there are hundreds of people that worked on the plan while Amos and I might be here to represent it to you. But through that plan, we created a new mission statement, a new vision statement, and also articulated our key commitments to the community as well to make that mission and vision come to life.
And Amos, with this new plan, how does it bring together kind of the shared missions and visions of two organizations that were kind of always working for a shared goal, but how does it really unite them now to plan for the future?
Well, it really formalizes the direction and the thinking and the planning of how we're going to move forward. Upon starting with the recognition that people really just love the zoo, and they really don't understand the two entities that that take to operate and run and fundraise and provide all the services that we do. And when you've got two big engines moving there, we want them to move together. Mm-hmm. We want them to piston together and move energy forward. And with this concept, with this plan, we wanted to verbalize the idea that we're together in the direction that we're going. And we're going to measure ourselves according to that plan.
And I'm guessing there are core pillars to this plan that will kind of provide that roadmap to move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And just starting with our vision statement, we really wanted to think of what is the view of the world we want to see in the future. And the view of the world we want to see is a world where wildlife and people thrive. We don't think you have to pick one or the other. And we're about the harmony of where people and wildlife can thrive. And then when you think about our mission statement and what is unique that our zoo can do to contribute and make that come alive, our mission is to inspire people to conserve wildlife and wild places. And we think we can do that by fulfilling three key commitments that focus on care, connect, and conserve. So at the heart of what we do is the excellent animal care that we provide to the community. We want to lead, or to the animals in our care. We want to lead by example and showcase that. We're proud of that. We want to invite the community to connect with that and see that in action in hopes that it inspires empathy for wildlife, ultimately leading to conservation action.
That's great. We are talking with Amos Morris, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee County Zoo, and Jody Gibson, president and CEO of the Zoological Society of Milwaukee. So what, in terms of the creative experience as a zoo-goer, what changes can guests expect as part of this new plan and some modernization coming?
It's really looking at, from an exhibitory standpoint, our habitats. We want to move to where we're very transparent with the way we care for our animals, giving people an opportunity to see both behind the scenes and what is right in front of you when you come for a visit. We want to keep our animal care at the highest level. We want to meet modern zoological standards in all aspects of new design, and even coming when we go back to kind of work on the older habitats, we want to bring them up so the design and the experience for the animals and for the guests are at a very high level. And I think our plan speaks to that level of focus. In that, you know, our guests hopefully will take away that connection that we want our guests to have with wildlife and what our habitats present for them.
When we come back, I want to dive a little deeper into the plan and talk about maybe some new educational programs and interactive exhibits and kind of get your take on what the refreshed exhibits will look like moving into the future. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are joined by Amos Morris, who is the executive director of the Milwaukee County Zoo, and Jody Gibson from the Zoological Society of Milwaukee. Our zoo, our future is the new plan that paves the path for the zoo moving forward. Jody, we were talking during the break about the zoo train. And obviously, you go to the zoo for the animals and the park-like setting and the food and just to experience it as a family, or maybe just walking through by yourself. But everyone seems to love the zoo train. Remind us of the origins of that train and maybe what's coming in the future for the zoo train.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it might surprise people to know that when the zoo moved from its location in Washington Park to where it is today, the train was actually the first exhibit that was built at the zoo. And what was fascinating is it allowed the community to be able to ride the train and watch the zoo being built. So it was a pretty ingenious way to engage the community in the effort while they were managing all the work that goes into building a zoo.
All right. And still just one of the favorites there.
Yes, it is. It's one of the favorites. And in our plan, we look to modernize the train a little bit.
Okay.
Running an old steam engine is not cost effective. And it also blowing black smoke out from the coal and steam and water just doesn't present a healthy environment. So our team really looked at how can we modernize this? How can we make things a little more efficient? Engine-wise, high-efficiency diesel engine,
okay.
Which we're having two built We can always bring the steam engines back just for nostalgia, but and then using a paint scheme that is reminiscent of railway that went through Wisconsin back several years ago. So bringing the engines up and looking at some creative changes to the track just to build upon the experience.
Staying true to the roots of the train, but moving it forward in a modern way, which I'm guessing you're doing for most of your exhibits at the zoo, right? You're always looking at how do you keep it real for the animals, so to speak, but how do you move it forward into the modern era for the guest? And Amos, as you look at kind of the Latin American tropics, primates of the world, the wild north, things coming, what can guests expect for the future of the zoo from an exhibit standpoint?
So you take those three habitat experiences. With Tropics of the World, we're looking at a neotropical exhibit, bringing something different to Milwaukee County Zoo, which is a zoogeographical exhibit that has multiple different species from your mammals to your birds to your reptiles. You know, we want animals to have to be able to exercise all the behaviors that you would normally see. So our bats would be able to fly, insects burrow, tapirs swim, jaguars get up into the trees or upper parts of the exhibit, be a more immersive experience. Move our aquarium experience into that building as well, because what people don't know or may know but really don't realize is the second largest coral reef in the world is in out front of Belize. So that neotropical zone we want to represent from the water to the mountains, how that is. So that's a new exhibit design that's not been done at Milwaukee County Zoo.
Wow, something to look forward to for sure. Yeah, that's great.
So then we look to, you know, really enhancing the animal care aspects of our zoo. Looking at our primate exhibits, wanting to get our primates with more space outdoors, having our guests experience our primates in a more outdoor, lush environment. So taking our pathway in the summertime and taking it out one end of the zoo where we classically have a deck experience in the bonobos and the gorillas and changing that up a bit so that when you exit that area, you'll be exiting through kind of a corridor that will have both species on one side or the other, and then take your path around the exhibit. Experience our colobus monkeys outside, experience our siamangs outside, our debraza monkeys outside, bring you back into our primate building, and then exit where you enter. Not only is this enhancing the animal's experience and their habitat, but we're also hoping that it modifies our path so that our guests can traverse the zoo so that it does experience the aviary, come into the primate area and exit and go continue a path towards our reptile exhibit, where we think folks in past have taken a path past our penguin right into the PEC building, into apes and primates, and out and exit and bypass a lot of that section of the zoo.
Really having
bring
that,
them back into
that immersive experience for all the exhibits inside the park. I mean, that's really what it's all about. And one, the final thing I wanted to ask is that as you're putting together the plan for the future, how do you balance creating that guest experience with, you know, really the important conservation work that the zoo does? You know, how is that balancing act when you got to drive revenue, you have to look at events, you have to look at concessions? How do you make it all work from a business standpoint?
Well, I think from the habitat standpoint, one of the pieces that we do a lot of work in is our Pat Gives Back program, which is our Pat Gives Back program is focusing on the jaguar and its environment in the Belize, in Belize. Neotropical, Central America, moving that experience in so our guests can experience a complete vision of what Belize has to offer for a Jaguar and interpreting that experience for them. That brings in that educational or that connection piece, as well as enhancing the habitats for the animal. From a cost-effective way, when we build exhibits, we do look for opportunities to generate revenue besides just our gate. So we hope that in the design of this facility, it'll enhance our rental programs, our catering programs, and better really utilize that half, that end of the zoo. Mm-hmm. We've got that west parking lot. I'd love to tie that in so that you can get right from that west parking lot to that exhibit and really enhance that section of the zoo.
I got to ask, we're recording this the day before Mother's Day. What's in store for mothers at the zoo? Free admission.
Free admission.
Come on, bring mom to the zoo for Mother's Day.
Free admission at the zoo. We do.
Amos, Jody from the Milwaukee County Zoo, appreciate it. All the best with our zoo, our future. We're looking forward to all the improvements and the continued success at our zoo.
Thank you very much.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A lot of changes in the CEO world today. Many of those right here in greater Milwaukee. It's an interesting time for sure. So much change. A really interesting time in retail, too. An even more interesting time in retail at Kohl's. I got to say that Kohl's has always fascinated me, especially because it's ours, right? It is Wisconsin-based, homegrown, headquartered right here in greater Milwaukee. It's not a stretch, though, to say that Kohl's is in a bit of a period of significant, maybe upheaval. There's a bit of chaos there, I think. Company just fired its CEO, Ashley Buchanan, after less than 5 months following an investigation that the board found that he directed business to a vendor that was his girlfriend, violating, of course, conflict of interest policies internally and raising maybe some red flags. And I wanted to kind of dive into this from a public relations standpoint. So joining us in studio is Michael Grimm, Senior Vice President at Reputation Partners and an adjunct professor of communications at Marquette University. Michael, I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Of course. So let's talk about, you know, we're probably a week after the firing of the Kohl's CEO. Are there immediate actions that Kohl's should take to kind of stabilize the business and maybe even get customer trust? Or does this not trickle down to the customer?
Yeah, great question. And so a key thing to remember is right when the crisis happened, they announced it. So they led the crisis with transparency and authenticity. You know, a lot's been written about mistakes they made in hiring Buchanan and what they might have missed on those missteps, because it's been considered almost like an open secret of that relationship. So it's questions of why did that slip through in the hire? Yeah. But with that said, I will give Kohl's credit, right? They owned the crisis. They owned, this is what happened. We hired an outside firm and we investigated it and we ultimately understood of this misconduct. And we're putting a stop to it now, and we're honoring our code of ethics, our rules, and being operating transparently. So what they should do is hunker down and tell their employees, our process has worked in terms of ethics, and we're going to lead with integrity to solve this, and trust us to find a new leader. I know it's the fourth one, right. But they got to find a way to tell the employees, hang with us, we'll get there, and here's our roadmap, here's what we learned, and here's what we're going to do.
So it's an internal and external communications challenge, as most are. Mm-hmm. But as you look at the risks and opportunities now for Kohl's, it's going to work through some turmoil and a bit of turnaround, right? I think the retailer is, you know, they're not a Costco. They're not a Walgreens.
Right.
They're kind of stuck in that middle ground of retailers. What does it look like from a risk and opportunity standpoint for the company?
Yeah, and they're really in a difficult macro environment. I mean, think about tariffs hitting the retail environment. Think about potential inflation. Consumers are hurting right now. So they've got to find a way to kind of measure and weather the storm of the macro and the micro within their own house. So the risks are, right, is that eroded trust, therefore employees flee, vendors go elsewhere, partnerships leave, and they need to find a way to, I would call it, hunker down, solidify, button down the hatches, find a way to survive this, and identify the right CEO to provide a bold, visionary vision. And therefore, that's the time to say, we're a new company, we're evolving.
So the acting CEO is a former board chair.
Board chair, yeah.
Michael Bender. Mm-hmm. What are your suggestions for him in the interim role?
Authenticity, right? He needs to say, and he had a little bit of a role in this too, because as board chair, he had a key role in basically the hire of Buchanan. So he has to lead with authenticity and transparency, saying, here's what we learn as a board. Here's what we learn in our process for hiring a CEO that we're correcting. 1, 2, 3. We're going to implement these already for this next CEO. And based on this, and there's a chance he could be the full-time CEO too. So if that's the case, he needs to even more double down on, not only am I correcting past challenges I oversaw, but I am the right person to have a vision for the future.
Yeah. So the company is closing 27 underperforming stores, mm-hmm, and an e-commerce fulfillment center. And as I said earlier, I think it's stuck a little bit in this retail no man's land. Yep. It's not super high end. It's not Costco. And you know, maybe they're missing a bit of that cool factor. Is that the new CEO's role to bring that back? And what do you see as Kohl's moves forward with its, what, 1,100 locations?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they really need to evolve. I know we've talked about it, and the whole world's talked about the Amazon effect, et cetera. But they've struggled finding that middleman zone. And especially, they have a huge opportunity with potentially more economic challenges of serving the middle America families and developing retail experiences that caters to those folks and understand and then make sure they're serving them where they are. And so there's lots of creative ways they can do that, but they have to find ways to get their core demographics back in the store with ways that serves their lives. They have to provide value to them. And right now they're not doing that great of a job.
Do you think, and I want to get kind of two specific ideas from you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give two ideas,
sure,
of my own too. Is
you
that typical core customer for Kohl's family? Is that how you see it?
Yeah, that's what I see it. I see it as, I would call it middle road America families, right? It's the mom of 2, 3, 4 kids that they're stressed out with, you know, soccer practice on the weekends. Mm-hmm. They're worrying about what's the dinner for the next night, and they're finding ways to make sure their kids are wearing comfortable and interesting apparel. And so they have to find ways that makes it easy for those parents and those individuals to shop there.
When we come back, we're going to give you two specific ideas each for the future of Kohl's. I got a couple that I need to continue to get off my chest here. As a passionate Wisconsinite, I want Kohl's to continue to build community and move into the future. You're listening to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're talking with Michael Grimm about the future of Kohl's. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, community and commerce with our hometown retailer, Kohl's. Michael Grimm from Reputation Partners joins us. So, Michael Bender is now the interim CEO at Kohl's as the board searches for a permanent replacement as CEO. Actually, former Northwestern Mutual CEO John Schlichsky is now the board of directors chairperson. Sure. So that's heartening as a passionate, yeah, Wisconsinite to have a little bit more of a true Wisconsin touch and a Northwestern Mutual touch. John's been on the board at Kohl's for a while now. But if you're counseling the next CEO to take big, bold actions, what are your two big ideas for the future of Kohl's?
Yeah, so I'll give you two, right? And one is a little bit more, I'll call it big brain, one is more realistic. So the one that's big picture that would really give a good PR splash, it would be a program called Kids Grow, Clothes Grow, right? I already teed up how a lot of their core demographics are families, right? And so much, and I'm a parent of a 2-year-old and another young child, mm-hmm, and we're already thinking of, gosh, they're growing out of their clothes so fast. So as the kids grow, they could return those clothes back to the Kohl's store, right? Exchange for store credit and get clothes that fit them later on. They could do a philanthropic CSR element with the old clothes, donate them, or perhaps, you know, wash them and repurpose in another way. Mm-hmm. And that would be a way of, you know, getting families back in stores, getting in there, and also showing that a ton of data and AI could go into that of tracking the customer journey throughout their entire lifespan. So there's a lot of very smart kind of big picture items you can do with that. Mm-hmm. And you could see how that would really play, especially in today's environment of, you know, economic challenges, et cetera.
Well, and I like it because it really ties into its Kohl's Cares initiatives,
which
I mean, over
Kohl's Cash integration.
Yeah.
There's lots of deep tentacles you can play with that.
It modernizes a platform that needs a little bit more mission-driven moving into the future. But that program, I think, has raised like $160 million mm-hmm. in the greater Milwaukee area and more than $400 million across the country. But really anchoring it to their core customer kind of brings it full circle. I like it.
What's your second one is a little more operational. So I think they really need to – and you mentioned the closing of stores. They need to just reimagine how they serve their demographics. So – it's small, but you could see how places like Starbucks kind of made it a third space, make Kohl's a third space of sorts. Mm-hmm. And one way to do that is, you know, family friendly fitting rooms, right? Have a unique kind of family for young children to kind of maybe get a tablet and play with something in the fitting room, or something that's very small adjustments that makes it more family friendly and more hospitable, I will say. But also you could have different kind of childcare elements or have different community events in Kohl's to make it literally a third space. And so, you know, expand it beyond just run in, have your child have a tantrum, and then run out. It's come in, experience, take a deep breath. We know what clothes you want. We'll serve them to you while taking care of you.
Yeah, I love those ideas. I love, one, really leaning into the family angle. Yeah. I mean, that's what Kohl's is all about. When you ask people, what do you go to Kohl's for? Most people say socks and underwear.
Back to
school. Because that's what kids need. And just really leaning into that. Because if you don't have a niche, there isn't usually a moat around.
Yeah,
right?
Stuck.
So lean into that family high-end, high-energy spaces, make it a little bit more attractive and affordable. That's what people want, and that's what families need. And then my second idea is you really got to modernize the Kohl's Cash. And I think that could go to your first point, Michael, where you really make it a digital, modern platform that's about loyalty, leveraging AI, personalized shopping through the family experience, but also a donation platform too. And then you stand out. You really make it like, wow, I'm going to Kohl's. There's a bigger mission here.
Yep. And a big thing I'm counseling clients all the time is have value and purpose drive profit.
Yes. Sincerity over strategy. Yeah. That's what I always
impact,
say, Michael.
Impact, right?
All right. I want to get your opinions on the Warren Buffett transition. As we noted, a lot of changes in the CEO world. Warren Buffett's exit as CEO of Berkshire Hathaway marks the end of his 60-plus year run. So how do you think they handled that announcement? To me, it was fairly seamless and just A+.
Exactly. In my world, seamless, chill, casual, that's what we want for transitions. We don't want the shock and awe, oh my God, this happened, Warren did this, how can you believe this? They mitigated all that by having a purposeful, long-term plan. I believe in 2021, they made the intention of Greg Abel being the successor. They've stuck to that. And Warren himself delivered the message. That's so key. If it was just a press release on a Friday, think about the questions. Is Warren dying? Is he going to be dead tomorrow? What's going on? Are they forcing him out? No, is Warren under his own volition, in his classic way, saying now is the time to pass the baton end of the year?
Now, so Greg Abel's leadership style is obviously different than Warren Buffett's. And he's not Warren Buffett, a legacy thought leader in so many different ways. How would you counsel Mr. Abel to move forward in his own personalized communication mission?
It's a tough job. Warren probably is the most epic CEO we probably may ever have. I mean, he's above the Steve Jobs of the world, et cetera. So he stands for his own. And the fact that he's on the chair still, he will still have a lot of limelight. So the key for Greg is position that nothing is changing majorly. So kind of, I would say, it's stability and an even roadmap forward. Don't deviate from Warren. Don't try to be Warren. Don't talk like him.
Yeah.
Don't have his mannerisms. But just kind of stay in your lane. Own yourself as a CEO. Deference to Warren while he's still chair. And just continue producing profits. That's what Berkshire does. Yeah. As long as he does that, he doesn't have to do a whole lot of, you know, overt communications.
Yeah. Take care of your shareholders. Take care of your community. And things usually work themselves out. So in general, what are kind of two other PR pieces of advice for future CEOs? We mentioned we're seeing a lot of change. It's a hard job.
Yeah.
There's even more pressures now with kind of increased instability in the world. What are your 2 points for CEOs moving forward?
Yeah, and I'll even kind of broaden this beyond the Berkshire example, even just taking account of the prior example of Kohl's, is today's CEOs need to be as much communicators as executives, right? I would say maybe in the past, even prior to social media and virality, they're very focused on profit. They always will be focused on profit, obviously. But now, today, more than ever, trust is built or lost in the field of communication and in the spectrum of media. And that's not just traditional media, that's non-traditional media, that's social media, et cetera. So the way in which I would recommend for CEOs is develop an authentic communication style, be a human, ditch the jargon, ditch the corporate speak, and connect with who your audiences are, connect with your employees. And number two, I would say, and I already teased this, lead with purpose beyond profit. You know, a lot about CSR, et cetera, but that's very important. But the future of leadership, in my opinion, is purpose drives profit.
Very good. Purpose drives profit, and it all leads to more community building, which every company should be all about.
Yeah.
Michael Grimm, Senior Vice President at Reputation Partners. Michael, I appreciate your time
today. Thanks so much, Jeff. Take care.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. A big thank you to our guests today, Amos Morris and Jody Gibson from Milwaukee County Zoo. Also, Michael Grimm from Reputation Partners. Friendly reminder, this weekend is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Book those reservations if you haven't already. Do a nice heartfelt thank you to your mom or that mom in your life. Thank mom. Love mom. Write that handwritten thank you note. It always means so much. You want to hear all past episodes of The Upswing? All you got to do is text UPSWING to 855-616-1620.